Tonight's Feast of Holy Thursday is the first of three great celebrations of salvation. And tonight we remember that Jesus instituted the Eucharist, giving us his flesh and his blood, food that is extraordinary and divine so that we can do what Jesus tells us to do. We remember the institution of the priesthood, which is so necessary for the sacraments, just as the priesthood was important for the celebration of Passover in Jerusalem. In fact, if you ever get a chance to listen to Professor Brant Petrie talk about what the celebration of Passover was like in Jerusalem, it's unformed, and it's just amazing because the priests had to slaughter anywheres from 250,000 to 500,000 sheep and goats for the celebration. Can you imagine what that was like? And the priests had to do that. And it was like an assembly line, but that was so essential to their understanding of Passover, of God taking them out of slavery in Egypt and bringing them into the desert and finally into the Holy Land where they could be free to worship God. And then we also celebrate, of course, the new commandment that Jesus gives us, a new commandment which goes beyond all other commandments. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. And then tomorrow we celebrate the second great feast of Good Friday, where we remember how God allowed human beings to torture him and execute him. A horrible, horrible death of a common criminal. And yet God was willing to go through this so that you and I could be here tonight celebrating and remembering that we have been made children of God and God wants us to be with him for all eternity. And then, of course, the culmination is Easter, when Jesus breaks the bonds of sin and death through his resurrection so that we can be totally, absolutely free to do whatever we need to do to follow Jesus, to do what Jesus did. So it's not just a question of trying to do things that are good and holy, but really trying to live up to that greater commandment that Jesus gives, not in this reading tonight, but about 15 verses later when he says, "I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you." So in a sense, it's no longer love your neighbor as yourself. You know, as difficult as that is, we fail miserably at it. But now Jesus is ratcheting it up. He's saying, love one another as I have loved you. So think of that. This is what we're celebrating tonight. The memory, which is an ongoing reality in our world, that God so loves us that he will do anything to bring about our salvation. And he did, and he continues to give us this great gift. Every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we're celebrating Easter and Good Friday and Holy Thursday. We're continuing this ongoing celebration because it's a universal non-time or non-historic event, meaning that there's no stop to it. It's constantly happening in our midst. And everywhere in the world, at every moment, there is a Eucharist being celebrated. You ever think of that? Every moment in this world, every moment of every day, somewhere, somebody is celebrating the Eucharist. And that's amazing. And I sometimes think of that and I think, look where we are 2,000 years later. Are we any better than those who went before us? Have we really taken into our hearts and our minds and our bodies the reality of what Jesus did for us and what he asks of us? Do we really know what it means to love one another as Jesus loves us? And are we doing it? Again, for Jesus, he literally gave his life. He didn't protest. He went along with it. But even before that, God, Jesus, God the Son, became a human being. He took on human flesh. And as the scriptures tell us, he took on the form of a slave. Now, how many of us willingly take on the form of a slave? And a slave is one who is owned. A slave is one who is told, you do this, you do that. You have no say, you have no rights. And yet Jesus is saying, we have got to live our lives in that way. Instead of thinking about ourselves, about our convenience, about our comfort, about what is mine, what I have to protect. And Jesus didn't protect any of that. But rather, he let go of his divinity in order to serve us. So that's all part of the new commandment, to love one another as Jesus loves us. Not making any excuses ever, but constantly challenging one another to go further in our Christian lives. And think about the saints that have gone before us. Many, many great saints. Francis of Assisi, who gave up everything in order to serve the Lord. Mother Teresa, wonderful model of it. But I would bet you any money that they would be the first ones to say, I wanted to love one another, everyone, as Jesus loves me, but I could have done better. And I think that's true of all of us. No matter what we do, we can always do better. And rather than look at that as a challenge that we simply can't succeed at, God has given us everything, so in fact, we can succeed at it in our own way, in our own human way, but we can love one another as Jesus continues to love us. So again, Jesus forgave willingly those who persecuted him. He raised people from the dead. He led his apostles, formed his disciples. He didn't stay put in one place in a comfortable life. He was always on the go. When we ask ourselves, do we do that? Is our life a constant going out to people to say to them, God loves you. Whatever it is that has hurt you, however you are wounded, however you're wounded by sin, God can take care of it. And is that word getting out? If we look at the world today, you know as well as I do, our Holy Father talks about dangerous ideologies, not the faith, but these other ideologies that are grabbing people's attention. When he refers to abortion as murder, think of that, murder, and it's going on, it's legal, and does that say anything about what's going on in the world that we have to confront and challenge? And obviously not in a violent way, but to do as Jesus did it, love people back into health, love people into holiness, love people into recognizing the Lord in the world so that they will want to come to the Lord and be faithful servants, faithful slaves, just as Jesus was. We have the power of God. There's no greater power. And yet, in our country, in our culture, in our society, secular society, do we give as much attention to living the life that Jesus calls us to live, which is Jesus' life, more than we give to whatever it is that we're planning to enjoy in our lives or our possessions or our jobs or even our families? Because Jesus says nothing is more important than living the faith. And the more we live the faith, yes, the more we will be persecuted, the more there will be pain and suffering, but we will have the power of God in our lives to go forth and to do what we're called to do. Now, Jesus showed that to the apostles by kneeling down and washing their feet. And again, that's something only a slave would do. Only a slave would do that. So when they see Jesus doing it, they're immediately thinking, okay, only a slave would do that. None of the apostles except for Peter complained. And then Peter's going, wait a minute. You're God, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. Isn't that kind of like the way we are too? You know, we say, God, I'll take that, but not that. And then Jesus says, no, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And so Peter allows it to happen. There's a wonderful picture from the early 20th century showing Jesus washing the feet of Peter. And it's an incredible face on Peter. It's like he's grimacing allowing it to happen. He really has to hold himself in to allow it to happen. But he did. He did. He allowed Jesus to wash his feet. Now, of course, what happened later? Judas goes out and betrays Jesus. Peter abandons Jesus in the garden. He betrays Jesus at the high priest's courtyard, right? But the good news of all of that is that Jesus forgave him, just as he calls us to come to him with our sins so that we can be forgiven. So the more we do what Jesus did, the more people will want to know why we're doing that. Why in the face of hatred and violence, we're not giving back what we get, but rather we're saying, how can I help you? What's your wound? Do you know about God? Do you want to be healed? How can I help you to really thrive and flourish as God wants you to thrive and flourish? And here we are taking advantage of that. We're here to celebrate the Eucharist. We're here to remember what Jesus did. We're here to remember his words, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, so that we can remember that. So when we go out into the world, yes, we're going to be tempted to go along with everything, but hopefully we're going to remember some of these things and say, no, wait a minute. Through baptism, I have become a child of God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. And therefore, I'm supposed to do what Jesus did. What would Jesus do? You always hear that question. Well, it's clear. We just read the Bible. We know what he did so that we can do the same thing. And again, we are filled with power. I don't think, again, that we really think about that, about the Holy Spirit who is showering us with all sorts of gifts and charisms so that we can do what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus said before he died, you will do the things I have done and greater things. Now, what's greater than raising someone from the dead? Well, think of it. Saving someone from sin, that's greater. And so Jesus is saying we have that power to do that in his name. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen when we go to heaven, and hopefully we will, that people will be running to us and say, because of what you did, I am here today. It shows the power that God has given us so that we can be people who save other people through the power of God. What a great gift. But do we use it? Are we afraid? Do we lack courage? Are we a community that is constantly supporting one another and congratulating one another when we do great things? Now, as a priest here, I've heard some amazing things from some of you. I won't embarrass you, but there are miracles happening in this parish. There are miracles happening in this parish. And God gives us all the opportunity to live a life of generous giving, of being a loving slave, and of working miracles, not for the sake of working them, so that people will say, wow, I want to know more about that. Where did that come from? Where do you get that power? And then we can say, well, it's from God. You can have it too. Do you want it? Well, come with me. Come to our community, and together we will grow in our faith and do the great things that Jesus says we can do in his name. So tonight, if anything, we're talking about God's service to us, God serving us, God loving us, and saying to us, okay, I have shown you how to do it. Now you go forth and do the same thing. So that's our call. That's the commandment, the great commandment God gives us on Holy Thursday, not just to love our neighbor as ourselves, but to go further, to love our neighbor as God loves us. So sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. And the more we do that, the more not only we will grow in faith and courage and zeal and fervor, but other people will notice it. They will notice it, and they're going to say, where are you getting that? Where's that coming from? And then again, we can proclaim the gospel message. So tonight, as we celebrate these wonderful gifts of God, and we'll continue to celebrate them, let's remember that we do play a very important role in the ongoing work of God's actions towards salvation in the world. We are very important to God. He wants us to participate in his work. He wants us to be his faithful disciples. He wants to shower us with all sorts of gifts so that we can truly flourish as his followers. So again, as you go forth, if nothing else, think of how you are called to serve as Jesus serves, and that you are given the gifts you need to serve and to serve well, and that you can actually dream big because the power of God goes beyond anything we can possibly imagine. So we continue to celebrate that whenever we celebrate the Eucharist, but hopefully we don't keep it up here, but we let it go all through our body so that when we go forth, we are not only talking about it, but we're living it and bringing other people to this table, the table of salvation, which God wants all people to come to. People that we know, people that we don't know, big sinners, small sinners, it doesn't matter. He wants all of us to gather around this table of salvation so that we can be his faithful children, not only in this life, but in the life to come.